You're listening to DraftKings Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Okay, so I found that it was a trip Tom Brady took to the Bahamas with David Beckham in 2021. So he has historically gone to the Bahamas.
Hold on, a trip Tom Brady took to the Bahamas?
Yeah, that was a tongue twister.
The trunk twister.
It's in 2021.
So he does go to the Bahamas on vacation.
With David Beckham.
Probably the part of the Bahamas that we will not be going to.
That Michelle goes to.
We can't get in there.
Yeah, we can't get in there. This is where he parks his mega yacht.
No, it's the foul one.
People don't go in there.
No, Michelle, you stop being coy.
Are you kidding me?
You've got a mega yacht. I've seen it.
I have a mega yacht?
Yes, in Austin.
First of all, if you have a yacht, you never call it a yacht. It's a boat. It's number one. That's called class.
Exact, see?
Okay. Cannot call
real
it
boat
your own
people
boat
know.
Real,
yeah, exactly.
Real boaters know. All right, so this is something came out this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Dana White was on Gronkowski's show, and he revealed that Brady and Gronk were supposed to go to the Raiders in 2020, but that John Gruden, quote, blew the deal up. He said, quote, I worked to put that deal together for Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders, and it was almost a done deal. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said he didn't want them. And all hell broke loose, man. It was crazy. Brady was already looking at houses, and it wasn't being said yet that Gronk was coming. So Las Vegas would have Brady and Gronk the year the Bucks won the Super Bowl, except Gruden blew the deal up. And there's so much story that goes along with this behind the scenes, and I was never going to tell that story until Gronk just said it. Added Gronkowski, Dana, that's exactly what happened. Why are we getting so many stories about what Tom Brady was going to do over the last couple of years?
Not just Tom Brady. Mark Cuban had one last week where he's like, you know, Kobe was going to be a Mav.
That's tough, too.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, he told Taylor Rooks, he's like, yeah, Kobe was going to be on the Mavs. It was basically a done deal. It's like, why are you guys telling us all this stuff now?
But also, you're telling it in a way that it can't be ever be refuted because the guy's not alive anymore.
Yeah, to me, the Cuban one feels creepier because I can't, they'll never confirm or deny that. We don't know.
Then again, he does put Tom Brady in a situation. So is Tom Brady's first question today, coming back, going to be about being on the Masked Singer or almost being a Raider?
So you think it was a diversion?
That's what I'm thinking happened here. I think that was leaked by Gronk to kind of take attention away because Gronk also famously Masked Singer alum. He knows the rules. He knows we're not supposed to be telling people. So he saw that it was out there. His good friend Tom Brady was on. They're like, oh no, did we mess this up? And he doesn't want to mess up the show that was so kind to him when he, you know, was on the debut episode after the Super Bowl a couple years ago as the Lion. So, or the tiger? The tiger. He was a white tiger, I think. Yeah. So, he went out there and he's like, you know what? Now's the time to drop this story and hope everyone forgets about the Masked Singer.
But is this story not more serious? As like, are sports journalists going to be all over this story? Or does it not matter at this point?
What was John Gruden thinking, by the way, where he's like, you know what? Yeah. I don't want him.
Hold on. What if I told you guys the plot is about to thicken right now?
Yes, please.
You want some thickened plot, everyone?
I love thickened plot.
Okay, here we go. As the story began making rounds on Saturday night, people began connecting it with a quick tale Brady told on HBO's The Shop back in June. Brady said he felt he was being snubbed by a team that was interested, and then, quote, all of a sudden, they weren't interested in the very end. He never mentioned the team by name and questioned its decision to stick with the quarterback they had versus adding Brady to the mix. Quote, you're sticking with that motherfucker? That's what Brady said on The Shop. Yes, bleep it.
He said that word. I didn't think he could.
And so
it was
now,
controversial. We were all arguing about who the MF-er was.
And now it looks like it's Derek Carr.
Derek Carr should have showed up today with a shirt that just said that mother.
Wow.
That would be badass. That would be so badass.
I know. I wish he was a little more.
He doesn't have it in him.
Risque. Yeah, he doesn't have it in
him. No, he's a quarterback.
All right, but he's very religious. Like,
Is he? Is he like David Blau, who won't say the F word, who says, fudge!
I mean, I don't know if he won't say the F word, but the cars are soups religious. Like, that's not happening.
Michelle,
I wish it would.
What's your stance on people who won't cuss? That will do the histrionics of cussing without using the actual word.
No, I hate people who won't cuss. Yeah. It's a word. Get over yourself. It's stupid.
So
if you don't have to cuss, if you have enough words, trust me, I've heard some of you people talk. You have no words. You can cuss. I hate it. And I also know that that's not the person for me. You're not going to be in my circle of life. That's it.
Right. You'd excommunicate someone who censors themselves.
Like, it's one thing to not cuss as a general rule. Mm-hmm. Like, my best friend in the whole world barely ever says a bad word just because she just doesn't.
Oh. And then I thought you meant
all
me.
The time. But she's not like, oops. She's not like, oh, shucks. Gosh darn. Like, she's not doing
golly.
That. Golly. Like, then I have a problem with that.
Who's your best friend in the world?
Bonnie Narani.
Oh, Bonnie. Love Bonnie. Bonnie's
worst best name ever.
Bonnie Narani?
Yeah, it's the worst best.
No, the worst best name is Connor Onion. We established that.
Full circle.
So that MF-er, to say with the theme, it's not Ryan Fitzpatrick anymore. It's Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Wow. So
you guys thought
that's such a bummer for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Hold on. You guys thought he was talking about the Dolphins the whole time?
The internet was
story?
Convinced it was Ryan Fitzpatrick, but then this Raiders story came out, and that MF-er is Derek Carr.
Hold on, man. You all thought that the Dolphins said, we got a chance to get Tom Brady.
That's kind of what happened.
The Fitzmagic
is what the Raiders did, too.
No, but at least Derek Carr, in some universe, is like a quarterback that people think is good.
Like acceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
Like some I'm building
on. Not Tom Brady, apparently.
Yeah. Yo, I really
that
like
is
that.
So disrespectful. Oh, yeah. Derek Carr is a fine quarterback.
Not according to Tom Brady.
Why would Gruden, like, of all people, why would Gruden be the one that's like, nah, there's no way.
Well, that's also kind of like the Mark Cuban Kobe thing. Like, John Gruden's not going to come out and say anything at this point.
And the weirdest thing is neither Brady nor Gronk, neither of them are black, so I don't know what else could it be.
Why wouldn't he be on board?
Clunky delivery.
Oh, I thought it was good.
I got a thumbs up from the back. All right. What else is going on in sports?
I love that Gronk just put Dana on the spot, too. Like, live television. Like, hey, remember that time? Like, there's no way he wanted to tell that
but
story.
But you have to, hold on. If you are on Gronk's radar, I'm not even his show, his radar, anytime, you know he's willing, ready, and able to pull out the most embarrassing thing or the most secretive thing. Say, don't tell anybody. He's going to say it in front of everybody. Remember that time? Right? Like, you have to know that, just being around Gronk.
No, I agree. It was so awkward the way the subject even came up. Like, ooh, this is an awkward live television moment. Yes.
Oh, you think Gronk ever feels awkward?
No.
What's the situation that makes Gronk feel uncomfortable or like embarrassed?
Spelling bee.
Like reading.
No. I think he'd just make it up. Right? He'd pick up the sheet, start reading. Are those the words? Are they not the words? Doesn't matter. Just start saying words.
Well, isn't that kind of brilliant in its own little weird way?
Yes. Rob that's Gronkowski, genius.
Yeah, savant.
Genius. Idiot savant.
Did not see that coming today at all. Yeah, I don't think he can be embarrassed. I don't think you can embarrass Gronkowski, which is kind of a beautiful thing if you think about it. To be able to live your life and not be embarrassed at all about anything.
Even as people are trying to embarrass you, right?
Right.
Like, people make jokes about him being dumb all the time.
And he cashes in on it. He makes commercials where he's dumb. You're like, yep, perfect. You win.
It's like the Stugatz formula, right? Isn't that what Stugatz did? He just cashed in on being lazy.
Like, he always wins.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, you cannot lose.
Even when if he does something on a public forum where he's dumb, people are like, oh, it's Gronk. It's great.
Yeah. Actually kind of brilliant.
Good to be Gronk.
God, he was a genius this entire time.
Yeah, like that's why I like to imagine Gronk on his private time sitting, like, you know, he shuts the door and closes the window blinds and then
puts on a smoking jacket.
These peasants. Oh. He's just like completely different. He's like an evil genius.
He's got like a lab, like Bunsen burners and stuff. And on his off time, he just likes to come up with concoctions.
He's reading War and Peace.
Yeah. He has a library full of many leather bound books. Yes.
I have read that. I believe he actually is smart with money, though. Like, I think he like never spent any of his NFL checks. He like only lived off of endorsements, stuff like that. Like, I've read stuff where he's actually a little smarter than he appears.
Let me raise my hand on this one. I'm sick and tired of this trope.
Here we go.
Such and such athlete is really good with money. What has he done? Well, he doesn't spend any of the money from his contracts. He just spends his money that he makes from other... Yeah, that's called having a lot of money. It's not like the money that comes from his NFL deal is colored blue and the money from the endorsements...
It goes to the same account.
Yeah, it's like it's just money. It's just money.
You don't have multiple accounts that you like put money in different places? Yeah. Like that? This is a pretty standard thing.
Are you pocket watching, homie?
I mean, what are y'all talking about?
I mean, you're saying he's doing some like deep thing here.
He's not. It's not deep at all.
I'm sure rich people, like a lot of us, they don't like, let me keep this aside. I'll have fun with this stuff, but this will be like, what do we?
Well, you have multiple accounts.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I haven't touched any of my money from ESPN.
Chris Cody's just sitting on his endorsement money from Redacted Sheet Company and has.
I don't spend any of the Sheets and Giggles money.
Whoa, you're not supposed to say that name anymore, right? Are they still paying you?
News to me.
Wait, are they still paying you?
They're paying me.
The check's clearing.
I don't know if they're paying the show. Oh,
there you go, attaboy.
That's awesome.
Michelle, what was the name of the restaurant you worked at?
Which, Carrabba's, Papacito's, Saltgrass.
What was the one where you got discovered?
I didn't, what?
That's the urban legend that Michelle Beadle was like
about?
Working at a restaurant and like someone did this, like put their fingers.
Yeah, because I have a face for that.
And said, you ought to be on TV. And next thing you know, You're doing Spurs stuff, and then you're doing Yes Network, and then you're at ESPN.
That's true, yeah. All that happened for me going, I'm going to be your server today.
A podcast in a shoe closet.
Exactly. The top is here.
Top of the food chain.
No.
So that's not how it happened?
No, all of this was a mistake, like a beautiful mistake.
That's how, that sounds like a mistake.
But the waiting of the tables was just me trying to figure out my life. Like everyone should at some point in their lives.
Did you?
You eat.
Were you dressed like what's her name from It Could Happen to You? Like it was like a diner outfit with the little apron and stuff.
No, but I wish. No, I think the worst one was like a bow tie and a white shirt and black pants.
Did you have to wear flair?
That was probably my worst uniform. Yeah. Oh what, yeah.
Was it
and
Bennigan's?
Like Doc Martens?
Oh, Doc Martens. Wait, was that like, team issue?
No, I wanted Doc Martens.
You wanted that was you being a rebel.
It's like, I'm going to get cuter shells. No, I think those were the worst. But I also worked at an amusement park where I had to wear like fiesta gear. That was probably my worst costume.
Wait, when you say fiesta gear?
Like a Mexican fiesta dance, like colorful skirt.
With the shoulders out?
With the ruffly, yes. And a flower in my hair. Yeah.
Looking like
that was my worst.
Looking like Three Amigos, right?
Yes.
When they go down to the little town.
Yes, but I ran. I can admit it now because of the statute of limitations. But I was 16 years old, and I was the youngest person on that staff. And they had a cash only wheelchair and stroller rental. I took that over, and I ran that thing, and I made a lot of extra money that summer.
And that's the money. That's the money she's been living off of. Folks.
And I have been living off that.
Hasn't touched a dollar of the ESPN
that's
money.
That's what bought all the Louboutins behind you.
Yep. That thing has been going this whole time.
I love that your first appearance on our show after your sabbatical, you were in front of all these wild deer. And in an effort to connect with our viewer, you decided to broadcast in front of Red Bottom Shoes. just to show you're the every person.
Michelle, you know,
I
they
can do it all, you guys.
They swore up and down that it was a green screen. Nobody believed that that was your backyard.
By the way, I saw him put CGI as the first comment on the chat room.
Tomorrow she's going to be broadcasting in front of her room of Fabergé eggs.
Yes, exactly. It just gets fancier each time.
We welcome in our resident stat expert, stat of the day expert, Mike Schur. Mike, that's Michelle. Michelle, say hello to Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Nice to meet you. How are you?
Nice to meet you officially.
Awesome. Mike, I'll be honest, man. That last stat of the day that you gave us from Scotland was... It felt like you were petering out. Now I don't know.
I don't remember which one it was.
Neither do I. I'm doing shtick right now. Hopefully you'll pick us up here though.
I'll do my best.
That's the part where I thought the music was gonna play.
I thought the cue was coming. Yeah.
Well, I just thought after you insulted him to his face, he might have a nice little quip there, but nope, just awkward. No,
yeah. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Were you just mad because I said that the worst take on the show in the last 2 weeks was you saying that I should keep my third eye open because LeBron hadn't signed an extension, and then 2 hours later he signed an extension?
Yeah, because I spent 40 minutes talking about Bronny, and the thing about LeBron was a throwaway line at the end, and everyone... just pretend like my entire segment was shot. It was great information.
It was not a throwaway line. The whole premise of your keep your third eye open rant was that Bronny hadn't gotten any offers from any schools and that LeBron hadn't signed an extension. And so maybe there was a conspiracy for them to play together. And then 2 hours later, LeBron signed an extension with the Lakers. That was the whole point of what you were saying.
I bristle at the term conspiracy. You want to make me sound like a nut job? Is that what you're trying to do, sure?
You were saying keep your third eye open. What is that if not a conspiracy theory?
It's called awareness. It's called keeping an open mind. How about that? Give us your stat.
He also, by the way, Mike, said Udonis Haslem hadn't re-signed with the Heat because Kevin Durant was coming, and Udonis Haslem announced this weekend that he's coming back to the Heat.
Not what I said at all, but thank you for interrupting Mike in the middle
of
that.
Sorry, I'll go back to the shadows.
By the way, I saw Parakeet Cortez tweet yesterday that he would rather have UD on the team instead of over Durant. And I know that his shtick is that he's an insane person, but you can't put things like that out into the universe. You just can't. It's not okay to do that.
He's an idiot.
I'm just... Folks, this year against right-handed pitchers... Albert Pujols, 42-year-old Albert Pujols, has a 605 OPS, which is the same OPS as 5'7" tall Oakland A's outfielder Tony Kemp. Against left-handed pitchers, he has a 1.205 OPS, which is 160 points better than Aaron Judge. So you ask me how Albert Pujols is doing this? The answer is he's doing it against left-handed pitchers exclusively.
It's like Albert Pujols put his game into that app that Jess was using about the symmetrical app. And half of his face or half of his game looks one way and half his game looks another way. You know about this app, Mike?
No, I don't. Apparently, what's the symmetrical app?
Well, you put in your face in there and then it'll divide your face in half and make comparisons, I guess. Jess, you've used it.
Well, there's two different ones. So like one is like it flips your face so you can see like how if you stand still and you face, it's a filter on TikTok, Mike, and it flips your face so you can see how different your face looks on each side. And then there's also one that cuts, it's like the old photo booth thing on the Mac. It cuts your face in half and then you like move it so you can see if you look different with having two sides of the same face.
Every single app that does anything to your face is just some company gathering facial recognition data on you. You should never use
TikTok,
any of those
no
things.
Shit.
So don't ever use those things. My kids are constantly like, hey, can I get this app that does this to my face? And I'm always like, no, that's a group of creepy billionaires somewhere gathering data on what you look like so they can do something nefarious in the future.
And they're not doing that off of our YouTube videos at all.
Or Instagram. Or
people are so quick to give away everything.
It's wild. And by the way, yeah, Instagram. Yes. My son also wants to get Instagram, and I also say no for the same reason.
Wait, how old is he?
14.
He has one.
Yeah, that's...
We're not doing any of those apps. Now, quick, put the swab in your mouth. Let's get our genealogy.
So I'm not doing that either, by the way.
That's also crazy. I'm 1/18th Irish.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
You're also 1/18th clone in 300 years. Congrats.
I like the idea of the billionaires hanging out, doing nefarious things, but not using the data, just wanting to look at pictures of our faces.
I mean, billionaires are weird.
They are.
Yeah. Seen and done it all.
I kind of feel like, you have to be weird to be a billion, to be that rich, right? Because either you inherited it, so you have no idea, no concept of regular life.
Yeah, no skills.
Or you worked to create $1 billion, which is... means you have to do terrible things, right? No, there's no such thing as a cool, well-adjusted billionaire, correct?
There has to be one. Think of one.
I don't think there's any such thing as a billionaire who didn't get to be a billionaire by exploiting other people exactly. in some way, shape, or form, either labor or yeah. or just people in general. Like you've stepped on a bunch of bodies to get to $1 billion. Like there's no version of that. Or you just inherited it and your parents did that for you.
What about LeBron?
Well, they probably did worse too, because that's early on in the billion empire building. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, your best bets are like LeBron, Oprah, people who got there through entertainment. But even then, they're not like, they don't have a completely clean sheet in terms of the way that they've treated people. There's just no way you can. It's impossible.
Well, I guess it's not necessarily how you treat people or whether you're a good person or not, but so much as you just can't be normal. Like, it's impossible to be a regular, down-to-earth normal person and be a billionaire, because the things you've done will completely change your brain chemistry,
right?
No,
what changes your brain chemistry is just, if you're a billionaire, everyone around you is so agreeable to your eccentricities that you don't have any checks and balances to change your behavior.
It's that show Loot. Like, that's the thing. Now all of a sudden you're supposed to be regular and you don't know what that means.
Guys, that happens to millionaires too, but you don't know, because people are just agreeable with all of you.
Ask Dan. When Dan gets back, ask him about it.
You know the thing about the facial recognition that's scary to me?
What's that?
Is because I went on a cruise recently, right? And when I came back in to go through customs, they're like, you have your passport? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, just walk. And then there's like a camera that just recognizes everyone as soon as you walk in. So you're not even going to like the little booth or whatever. The scary thing is, like, how are we going to do like Jason Bourne movies in like 20 years? Because like there's no use for fake passports or anything anymore, because they're going to know when Bourne is like entering the country now.
They'll catch him immediately.
Exactly.
But also, what happens to all of our faces? We're transforming our faces, like people that don't look anything like they did 5 years ago. How does that all work?
That's what freaks me out about that clear thing that is at the airport now.
I have clear.
Yeah. I do have that. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's like, because it just scans your eyeballs.
Yep.
And so you can do whatever you want to your face, but it still knows that you're walking around. And it's like, there's always like a person there in like a vest who's like, have you done clear? It's like a weird cult. They're like, have you done clear? And they, no, come right this way. And then you scan your eyeballs and they're like, now you get to go to the front of the line. And you're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Mike, do
and
you?
And you're like, oh wait, they just scanned my eyeballs.
Do you partake in like any conveniences of like the 20th century?
Like Greg Cody over here.
Very few. I'm very cautious about giving away. I mean, you can't, if you have an email account, but you're already screwed, right?
Oh,
but I don't have, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram. I don't use any of that stuff. I don't
do
let my
face
kids
ID
use any
on
that
your
stuff.
Camera phone thingy.
I do, but Apple's security, I think it's a little better than from what I've read, at least, is a little better than most places.
From
I'm
what
sure
you read,
still
where?
Doing something terrible with it.
From Apple, because Apple's the only people I hear say, "Oh, our security is the best," and I'm like, yeah, okay. That checks out.
They had that update 2 days ago. They were like, "You better do this right now, or you're gonna die."
Yeah, that isn't that so
serious.
Scary. Zoom did that too. They were like. Oof. Run, don't walk to your computer and update Zoom. I was like, what is going to happen?
I had friends texting me. I was like, are you texting me about an Apple update? What?
Mike, have you ever been worried that, you know, your face might be a little bit too out there in terms of, I don't know, television and stuff? And
like, as a public figure,
being
maybe they
the
can
office.
Get this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is that. Like, I was in Scotland, as you all know, recently, and I was recognized for playing Moe's on The Office on a remote island in Scotland. And I did have the feeling of like, all right, I'm screwed. Like I can hide all I want from Mark Zuckerberg, but
not lie and just say, what's the office?
Oh,
to what end? What? Just, why in the world? There were people who were like excited to meet the guy who played Moe's from The Office. I don't want to. That's the one thing I have to offer people.
I love that you've thought of everything. You're like, no email, no Facebook, no Instagram, and Moe's is what comes back to bite that's you in awesome. The ass.
Damn that career.
That's when the so when the robots take or the billionaires or both take me down, it'll be because I ran along the side of a car like a dog in an episode of The Office in 2010.
Mike, I got a question for you. We were talking earlier about people who won't cuss. Not necessarily won't use cuss words, but will enter the zone where they want to cuss and then self-edit. You know, David Blau of the Detroit Lions on Hard Knocks last week fumbled, and as he's walking onto the field, he says, "Fudge!" And Michelle and I don't respect people like that, but it occurred to me that there's one profession where you need to kind of have that sensibility, and that's when working on network television. How many times have you been writing and say, damn, I wish we could just one time just drop one of these?
Oh, constantly. Because I curse a lot in my normal life. I've never cursed around my kids in 14 years, which I'm very proud of. But I curse a lot in general. And the network TV thing is hard. The Good Place solution was that the universe would, the afterlife universe didn't allow cursing. So when you would try, it would filter out what you said. That was our little workaround. But on SNL, the history of SNL is that, like, where it was my first job, was that because it's live, like four or five times people have dropped an F-bomb on SNL and they get in big trouble because the FCC mm-hmm. shows up and people get angry. Norm Macdonald did it during Update once. There was a noise off screen and something like loud crashed to the floor and he just went, what the F is that? And then everyone went crazy and laughed and clapped. And then he was like, my final appearance. That was his way he covered it. But Jenny Slate, who was hilarious, who was a hilarious person, was on the show for like 1 year. And part of the reason I think that she didn't last is that she accidentally dropped an F-bomb in one of her sketches early on. Like, it does happen. It's a, I've at this point in human history, I'm a little bit like, come on, what are we doing? Like, who among us, like when I go to my son's baseball games and I'm like, I'm the scorekeeper. So I have an app and I like keep score of the games. I've been doing this for 8 years now.
Of course.
And like, I'm close enough to their like bench to hear what they're all, they've been since they were 11, they've all been cursing like crazy. And like, I hear my son drop F-bombs. And so I'm like, who are we protecting from this coarse language? It seems kind of silly to me. It's very like old timey. It feels very much like Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl. Like, oh, like pearl clutching. Like, oh, no, what will happen to the youth of America if they hear this? It's like, it's pretty like 1960s to me that we're still concerned about this. And there is an old adage that I was told when I started at SNL, which is if someone curses on the show, you'll get 10 letters that say, how dare you? I was watching this and I don't approve of that language. If you say Jesus Christ in a negative connotation, like as like an mm-hmm. exclamation, you'll get 1,000 letters. And the only time I ever got in trouble at SNL was I wrote a sketch where athletes were thanking Jesus after games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and saying like, you know, the Lord was with me and Jesus really helped, you know, but it was in the late 90s when that was like extremely mm-hmm. prevalent, at least in baseball. Yeah. And then there was a Jewish athlete they were like, what happened out there? And he was like, I don't know, man. I can't explain it. I don't know what happened. And it was just like, whether or not Jesus had intervened in the, in the athletic match. And I got like dozens and dozens and dozens of, like, they were dropped in a stack on my desk. It wasn't 1,000, but it was like in the 50 to 70 range of people just being furious that I had. And it wasn't blasphemous at all. It was an observation about the culture that athletes give credit to Jesus for good performances. And it was like the only thing I ever wrote that ever caused any waves at all. So it's just a very old timey kind of conservative world that we're still in on network TV that should probably disappear.
I love the idea of just this big U.S. mailbag full of just hate mail.
Yeah. Because of the Jesus. Old school.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Mustard mixes with mayonnaise better than ketchup does.
What?
Yes.
No.
What you've just said is appalling. What you've just said is an offense to anyone who's ever eaten.
Stugatz.
Ketchup. Oh, my God. Don't like it on anything, but...
What?
Ketchup?
Yeah. You're un-American!
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Game of Thrones is back. House of Dragon. House of the Dragon? What's it called? House of the Dragons?
House of Dragons.
House of Dragons.
There's 10 dragons.
10 dragons. It's
10 dragons?
In one house?
173 Whoa. Years before the death of the Mad King.
172, I believe.
172?
That's what it said on the opening slate.
Oh, right, dude.
Man, I'm wrong. Okay, 172 years before the death of the Mad King.
Oh, no, it's House of the Dragon. My bad.
See, I told you.
I screwed that up.
Probably 173 years as well.
I keep getting that confused with the Rings of Power.
Oh, Rings of Power.
The Rings of Power, House of the Dragon. Could it be like the Rings of Dragon.
Is it House weird that I want to watch that? I'm not like you, Jess. I like Lord of the Rings.
That's for sure. Hmm.
You're a bit of a nerd.
Hey.
Which makes her a super nerd.
So we
yes.
are a lot yeah. alike then.
No, it's like super nerds. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. So I like it. But I really want to watch this show, not because I like Lord of the Rings so much, but because I want to see what they spent the money on. Michelle, you know about this TV show that Amazon is putting on, this Lord of the Rings TV show?
Yeah, where they're spending I've read about it, but yeah. That's...
$8 trillion an episode?
It looks super expensive. Like, the trailer looked very different than the way the actual Lord of the Rings movies looked. It looked like more like
The
Hobbit.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, because the movies were, I mean, they were
super smooth and big.
Like
yeah,
low power, right?
Exactly. I don't know. I'm nervous for it. I'm nervous for House of the Dragon, too. The first episode.
I am, too.
Michelle, did you watch it?
No, I'm watching it today when all this really hard work is done.
Yeah. I stayed up late
because
and watched
I'm nervous
it last
because
night.
You did? Okay. I've read positive. Are you in the positive camp?
I think I'm mostly positive. I'm skewing positive. It was not bad. It wasn't like the best opening episode of any show, but I don't think like a pilot episode, they've got to kind of reel you in and set things up. And then I think it's going to probably get better. I did think that Matt Smith, who plays Daemon yes. Targaryen, was definitely a scene stealer.
Is there nudity in the first 5 minutes?
There was ass cheeks. There were boobs. There was everything. A severed
in, baby.
Penis. Very Game of
There's
Thrones.
A penis?
Severed penis.
Severed?
Whoa. Severed penis.
When I was a kid, better. I used to think that was pronounced severed.
Penis. That's awesome.
A lot of butts, though. A lot of butts. I think butts are in. I think for a while on HBO, penises were in. It's a big time for butt cheeks. Yeah. Tell Dan Campbell.
I feel like butts are better to look at than penises anyways, as a general rule. I'd rather see butts.
I think for comedic effect, they're better. Like in Better Call Saul, we saw a lot of Bob Odenkirk's butt. There was like a lot of, like a few episodes had nudity warnings and it was like, oh God, what's going to happen? This is going to get graphic. And then every time it was just Bob Odenkirk's little butt.
He's got a little butt?
Yeah, just his little butt.
Was it
hairy or did he wax it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Michelle,
it wasn't hairy though.
Do you remember when the big controversy of the 90s was we saw Dennis Franz's butt on NYPD Blue?
In NYPD Blue, baby.
That was
a big moment
for TV.
His butt?
His butt.
A cultural moment.
He like it was on purpose. Like the scene was.
It was on.
We got purpose. Full backside nudity on network television.
I remember feeling that way when Devin Hester got his pants pulled down once during Sunday Night Football. I was watching it with my mom, and we were like, "Was that his butt? His
ass cheeks glistening
was it two, though." As long as it's two ass cheeks.
Maybe. The only two of them, yeah. Two if it's one, watch out. Dan Campbell's around the corner.
But I thought the show was good. Michelle, I think you'll, if you're a big Game of Thrones fan, I think you'll like it. I think most Game of Thrones fans will like it. They've got a lot of runway to work with. There's 172 years until the events of Game of Thrones start. And I thought the acting was pretty good. Like it takes you back into that world really easily. The same composer is doing this series. So the music themes are the same.
Everything felt like the continuity was there. I saw like the first 15 minutes and then I had to stop. But I like there's two things I don't like, right? Yeah. One is specific to this and one is generic, right? The specific thing is the CGI on the dragons is still trash.
Really?
Still terrible. Dang. They're spending all this money and not spending enough on the CGI.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It looks cartoonish.
You know what? I'm gonna pay attention. I'll send you a text ASAP.
The second thing I don't like is the generic. Is I realize I don't like watching stuff that's from the same universe as something else, but there are no like mutual characters to help me feel comfortable.
So you felt lost.
Yeah, I'm like, who are these? I don't care about any of these people. I wanted like someone to walk in, like, oh, there goes so and so.
I think that might happen like later on in the series, but you didn't think, because like it opens up with the young Targaryen.
Yeah.
I think Rhaella. She's got like the Daenerys Targaryen, same hairstyle, and they all have like the bright blonde hair. So like, I feel like that kind of gives you a sense of like who you're talking about.
But there's so many of them. I'm like, are they all Targaryen? So there was a black guy who had like the white hair.
Yeah.
Is he a Targaryen?
He's married to the queen that never was. But they did marry within their
Manti
family.
Teo?
Oh my, what?
Don't. It's too soon and we learned a lot. Don't do it. Like we're not going to be mean anymore about that. No, but here's the thing about it. I read that actress had never seen an episode of Game of Thrones, the one that's playing Targaryen, like, early. She's never seen it. So she had to watch all of them in 2 weeks. Secondly, I hate watched the entire final season of Game of Thrones.
Same.
I was so angry at every episode. So that's why it's weird that I'm so excited to watch this. It's like I want it to redeem itself.
I talked
even
about
though it's not.
I'm sorry. I talked about it last week how like the level of don't give a shit. There was a Starbucks cup of coffee in one of the scenes. I forgot there was another episode from that season where there was a Dasani water bottle on the set. And we were like, what's more offensive? That nobody picked up on a second drinking device on the set, or that someone out here is drinking Dasani water?
You thank
disgusting
you.
Animals.
Thank you. In
just
Europe,
drink
even.
Out of
you
your
don't have
toilet
like cool
bowl.
European water?
Yeah. You guys are in Croatia. Get something with a glass bottle.
Get cool Europeans water.
Drink. I think it's like Michelle, like going back to a shitty ex. I've seen people make this comparison online. It's like we were hurt, we were dumped, we were duped and bamboozled, it ended poorly. And then they're like, but give us a second chance. And everyone's like, all right, I'll give you a second chance. And I'm open minded. I do not think I have the bandwidth for the show right now, going into football season and airing on Sunday nights. But I'm gonna keep watching until I peter out. Well, or maybe it'll be good. I don't know.
I mean, this is the part.
I also don't have the bandwidth to do weeklies. It's very hard for me.
Really?
Okay.
Oh,
I just
you're
want
wildin'.
It all at once. Just stop. Just
you're
stop.
Wildin'.
We don't do this anymore, HBO. We don't.
I love weekly. I love it. I love it. You know why? Because assholes like you, Michelle, will watch the entire show and then we like talking about it all the time. I'm like, I haven't even opened the app yet.
That's
and
on you.
No.
Get your life together.
No.
I have a list of priorities.
Look
you
how cool this is. We're all
I
here.
To watch the entire thing.
We're all here together and we're like, we get to go experience it brick by brick together.
No. Absolutely not. If you read a book, do you just read one chapter at a time?
Yes.
Or if it's good, do you just whiz
through it? No, I never whiz through it. I'll savor it. I like to sit and
savor nothing.
Reminisce about like my favorite line from the last paragraph or so.
No way. You I like to just watch the entire series in a day and then forget all about it by a week later. Boom, done, next. That's it.
Boom, done, next. Let me ask
I got time for all this.
Let me ask you a question we talked about in the local hour today. When you flip open your Netflix or Prime Video, whatever app you're turning on. Do you go with purpose? You know, I'm here to watch this, or are you one of these people like, what do you have for me? Suggest something. Ooh, this
What's
is top
the
10.
Algorithm got today. Most of the time I go in with something, but lately, because I feel like I've been in between shows, I just open it up and then I end up watching like shows that are for teenagers, like every single time. Like, never have I ever. I binged like 2 seasons of that.
Why?
46 years
you
old.
Can't.
I don't know.
Come on.
It's there. It's there, and I learned a lot. Okay?
No, what'd you learn?
Kids are going through it right now. Kids are going.
Euphoria taught me that one. Jesus.
Oh, no. Euphoria taught me I made the right call in never having children. That's what Euphoria taught me. That is a terrifying show for parents.
It's. I mean, it's like, it took me aback. I was like, because I'm like, okay, all right, we all had a fun time in high school. What could they possibly be up to? And I'm like, whoa, this shit. You guys got belts and needles and all types of kits. God.
I was going to say social media is kind of what did it. Yeah.
It did what?
Like this, I feel like when I was leaving high school, social media was getting really big and I could see the toxicity start to form, because, like, you know, people would hang out with one another and you'd see photos of it and be like, why wasn't I invited? And before, you would just like not see that shit. And that's what like started messing with your mind. And then everyone started like competing, like who'd have the best outfit, who would have the best photos of their outfit. And like it started really young. And now, like, the younger generation has grown up with that the whole time they've been young. And so I think it's just made it so much worse. Like, you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. You're constantly feeling left out if people are doing stuff without you. And
this damage is bad.
That's kind of my thought process about like the euphoria. Because teenagers have been doing drugs for decades. I don't think that's new. I don't think I think actually drug use has gone down among teens.
Has it?
I think statistically it has. In that show, maybe not.
Not on that show.
Yeah, it probably depends on I don't where know in for the country. Sure. Different drugs, different places.
By the way, I'm trying to, as I try to find empathy for people who are bullied or whatever via social media, I'm trying to figure out what's worse. Is it worse to find out that people don't like you from a comment, or is it worse to find like someone left like a block of cheese in your desk for months and didn't tell you?
That's a person. That person sounds loved. I mean,
Is this a prank?
Some would call it a prank. The pranker would call it a prank. The pranky, probably not.
So you're asking how you'd rather be bullied. Like, you're left out of something, or someone puts gross cheese in your desk.
Did someone put cheese in your desk, or did you put cheese in someone's desk? Yeah, it was good cheese at the time. It could have been a gift to me, and you just didn't know.
Yeah. It was.
Is this how you were bullied?
Ungrateful bastard.
This is so specific.
The last episode of Sports Nation that Michelle Beadle was on, as a gift.
Wait, this happened?
Yeah.
As a gift, the show gifted Michelle a bust, an NFL Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame style bust of her face made out of cheese. I don't know where they got it from. I don't know how they commissioned it.
What kind of cheese?
Was it cheddar? Like,
this could be an attraction in the Midwest.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was a giant head of cheese.
Massive. Like, it's bigger than Michelle's actual head.
Hair and everything.
Wait, hold on a second. So the first time you were done on Sports Nation, didn't they shoot you out of a cannon or something?
Yes, first
and then
I
the
got
second
shot.
Time, they gave you a giant cheese head.
Yes.
Okay.
See, I left on great terms. I don't know what all these rumors are about.
She did. She like left Sports Nation on great terms. That's for sure. So Michelle had a cubicle that was prime real estate.
That was a good one.
Prime real estate. It was at the nexus of everything happening. And because the cubicle is kind of high and a door, you can shut yourself off from the rest of the world. But the moment you hear a voice, you're like, oh, let me see what's going on. You pop your head out and you're right there in the middle of all the chatter, right?
You had window light. You had everything.
Had a window, had a view of was it not Figueroa? Was it Figueroa? Yeah, it was
Olympic
Figueroa. Yeah, a view of Figueroa, right? So there was a notorious shortage of cubicles. And I wanted a cubicle, and they said, no, there are no more cubicles. So when Michelle was leaving, I was like, all right, well, squatter's rights. I'm just going to put all my shit in there, and then it's going to be mine. And so as she's moving stuff out, I'm moving stuff in. So finally the day comes, she leaves, By the way, I'll never forget what you said. I saw you on the way to the airport, when you were on the way to the airport to New York. And I said, I gave her like this motivational speech, like, Michelle, go out there, you're going to kill it. That show's your show. You're the talent on that thing. Da, da, da. That and she out, looks yeah. at me and she says, I'll be back here in 6 months. I swear to God.
And I was back in
exactly 6 months. Yeah, I'll be back here in 6 months. Gets in the Uber, drives away. 6 months later, she's back.
Brilliant.
So, but
it's called strategy.
It's called strategy, exactly. So, I got this cubicle. It's all mine. I've got my PlayStation in there. I've got my sneakers in there. I've got my suits.
You move into the cubicle?
I moved into the cubicle.
Really did.
Like, this is my base of operations in LA. Months go by. Months go by. And finally, she says something like, so you never told me if you liked the gift I got you. And I'm like, what gift? And she says, you didn't go through the desk? I said, not really. I didn't put anything in the desk. Most of the stuff is just sitting on the counter. It's like, why don't you take a look in the drawer? And I opened the drawer, and it was like Medusa's head. It was growing stuff, and the smell was instant. Like, you want to talk about vomiting 15 times in a day? Yeah, this guy. And this mother
did you say thank you at least?
Laughed her ass off. We had to get facilities to come get rid of it. Like it was a biohazard.
You made someone else get rid of it?
Yeah, I did. That shit was disgusting.
It was really bad by then.
Jessica, it was months later. It wasn't like a week later.
What type of cheese was this? Was this a soft cheese or a hard cheese?
Yeah. It was like cheddar, I think.
Cheddar-y.
It was an orange. Yeah. Orange.
Oh, it was an orange bust?
Like a big orange.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been gigantic. Really gross. A sharp cheddar, a moldy sharp cheddar.
It was green by the time I got it.
I thought it was a brilliant idea. What else are you going to do with it?
Just give it away. Why? Why?
He gave it to you.
That's bullying.
My fault you didn't look through a desk. Who doesn't look through a desk? What's wrong with you?
I don't need all these drawers.
Well, you didn't put anything in the desk?
No.
A notepad or something?
Why?
Extra PlayStation controllers.
No, I just sit on the desk. I just sit down and turn on the PlayStation. Let's go.
You could have avoided that easily.
Yeah, by not being friends with Michelle Beadle, apparently.
I feel good about that prank. I like it.
What are the better ones? I feel like that. Yeah, I was going to say, what are the other pranks on the Beadle list?
Oh, yeah. There's been some with like camera crews that I've worked with. I'll never forget, I don't even know if you can tell these stories anymore. Like, I don't even know what stories you're allowed to tell.
Bully.
But I used to have a camera guy that was, like, real tough. And he was scared of, like, small women, right? Scared of them. So on our last day, I hired one that also happened to be a stripper to come out from underneath the stairs.
This is a tiptoe situation?
Scare the crap out of him. Yeah, and it was like, the best $100 I ever spent on anything in my entire life.
Beetle, did you hear about this story about me in the NBA Finals?
What'd you do?
Like, this
wasn't... This one? The last one?
This last one that just happened.
No.
So, for Cinephobe, which is the podcast where Zach Harper and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether they're accurately poorly rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe is produced by Anthony Mays. You get it wherever you get podcasts, right here on the Levitard and Friends Network, a podcast that Michelle has appeared upon.
I did. It's a really good podcast.
Yeah, you did Maximum Overdrive with us a couple of months ago. So, scroll back, listen to that one. But... I believe the next month after you are our very first guest pick for the show, we had Brad Williams on, the comedian Brad Williams, very funny guy, also a little person, right? Brad selected the movie Tiptoes. Are you familiar with this movie, Michelle, the premise of this movie?
I wasn't. I had to Google it.
Right. For those that don't know, Tiptoes is a movie where Gary Oldman plays Matthew McConaughey's twin. But Gary Oldman is a little person in this movie. And the way they portrayed it is not with fancy CGI or anything. It's literally to have him walk on his knees with shoes attached to his kneecaps. Or
like Dwarf on Golf.
Yeah, or be seated at all times. So they'll have him like sitting in the on a couch and he's literally the lower half of his body is underneath the couch. But then they have like two little feet sitting there. This is a real movie. Gary Oldman was in it. Peter Dinklage was in it. Matthew McConaughey. What? Kate Beckinsale. This is a real movie.
And it's bad.
These are real people.
It's a Cinephobe movie, yes.
Tip-toes. toes.
So the movie also happened to have the largest cast of little people actors of any movie ever. This is according to Brad Williams, because he was like, I know all these people. That's so-and-so, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. And one of the people in the movie was this young lady who apparently is an adult film star. And he's like, I know her. Her screen name is Bridget the, I'm not going to finish it. You can fill in the blank. Brad
says
it.
Was she on Howard Stern a lot?
Yes, she was.
Ah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
And so Brad knows her from before she was an adult film star. When her name was not Bridget, it was something else, right? So he says this, he's on in the scene, and as we're moving on, I'm like, huh, yeah, see what her work's like. So I Google. And then podcast is recording. I forget. We move on. I have to switch tabs to look for something else. Forget all about it. We're done recording the podcast. Guys, got to go to the arena. I go to the arena. It's game 5 of the NBA Finals, right? Game's over. I'm doing the post game, the live post game for Le Batard Show right there courtside. I put the laptop on the scores table, and I'm doing it, right? And so they're telling me, I mean, go grab guests. There's people everywhere. So I'm like, oh, there's Steve Kerr. Should I get Steve Kerr? Yeah. All right. Oh, he's doing ESPN. All right. Never mind. There's Kareth Burke. I don't know her, but, you know, maybe she'll come on. No, Kareth's doing a hit with someone else. There's Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. Go grab him. I go, Kevin, you want to do it? Yeah, sure. Comes on over. I'm trying to switch the audio from earbuds to speaker so he can hear too. And so I'm alt tab, full screen of my search from earlier of porn, of very little people porn.
Fetish.
Kevin starts laughing. I start laughing. The guys don't know what's happening. Like, what's so funny? And I decided to reveal it against my better judgment. No. Reveal it.
You had to.
We talk about it. We laugh about it. Afterwards, I'm like, man, this is not good, right? I had this great conversation with John Skipper that day. And I was like, oh, man, they're finally starting to give me more responsibility. I think they're starting to, like, believe in me as, like, something more than just the silly guy that gets drunk or whatever. Oh, and literally 6 hours later, I have this happen. So I said, maybe no one will notice, right? It was a post-game show. People don't watch this stuff typically. If they weren't there live, then it's over. The next morning, Dan Le Batard makes the A block of every single segment about Amin watching porn at the finals.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's also very on brand for you. And I appreciate that.
It's the only time in my entire professional career I've been embarrassed.
Were you really embarrassed?
I was legit embarrassed.
Ninja Warrior, well, you know why
it's bad? Because it's not just porn. Like, you almost have to explain the context of it. It's not just, hey, I was watching porn.
It was.
No, it's specific.
Hundreds of thumbnails of all the same genre.
Oh, that is brutal. Yeah. That is brutal, and I love it. See?
Welcome to Cinephobe.
I'm going to watch Tiptoes this week. I think that's on my list now.
Please do, and then put me and Brad and Zach in a group chat.
Yes. Listen. House of Dragon and Tiptoes.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.